Hey, good afternoon. Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. Sorry about that. We apparently didn't go to the newsroom either. We had some technical problems with air. We obviously got some technical problems with our output this afternoon. So we're going to come back on air and...
lucky them.
Yeah, so you got us for a bit
more
longer.
More of us?
Yeah, yeah. I've no idea what the news was about, so I'm not going to tell you.
It's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant. It certainly is. Amanda's had to leave us because she's got on school run duty. But we got loads to talk about, and we've got another great guest to speak to as well. Do you want to read something out, a tweet or
an
email?
I'm really excited about this. And this sort of came to my attention about 5 years ago. And it's something that I've never heard about, and I felt great shame that I didn't, and I should have been more aware. So this is a further round of the Tampon Tax Community Fund, and it's open to charities and community groups working with women of all ages and backgrounds to build their skills, confidence and self-esteem. The groups anywhere in the UK can apply to their local community foundation for grants for up to £10,000, and funding can only be used for projects or services that directly benefit women and girls. And the Kent Community Foundation was 89,000 available to award in grants for specialist Kent projects for vulnerable women and girls. Now, this is www.kentcf.org.uk. Love these ideas. We don't think about it enough. More of it, please.
Fantastic. Yeah. Mm. We've had a tweet about it as well from Bowdoin PR that also tweeted about it. Talking about tweets, I've had a tweet from Pecunia, and they say, we'd love a shout out to all those in the construction sector that will be affected by reverse VAT scheme in October 2020, because they put it back a year.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about that, I'm sure, in a minute, Bruce. We'll be running cash management workshops for CIS contractors and main contractors to prepare for this big change. So that's Pecunia 2016, P-E-C-U-N-I-A 2016 on the Twitter. Give them a follow. What you got?
I was just doing some
research. You're just not paying attention.
No, do you know what I was putting in? I was putting in tampon tax fund. I'm going to say it, keep saying it again and again and again, because I just wanted to know a little bit more about it.
Right.
It's one of those things you look at and go, you can't say that.
Yeah.
But and I'm just looking at it now thinking, I don't know enough. What?
This is a thing that affects men, not just women, you know.
Can we just talk about this a bit? I'm going to go back to the Desiree thing. We were talking about cars.
Yeah.
I know, you're thinking, what is Bird going to say? Now, here, my finger's out. I'm trying to grab
your
attention.
You're pointing at me, aren't you?
I'm trying to grab attention from you. You know, you said to me, you said on air about that women thing where she went in, the bloke's gone, love.
Yeah.
It'll be the petrol. I'm not joking. It's very rare in the whole of my life that's ever happened.
Hmm.
Two places. One was a VW dealership where they said, love, go and get your husband. I promise you, I was about 25. Go and get your husband and come back in when you're more serious. Hmm. I was like that. I was shocked. Bruce, I'm telling you, obviously that wasn't very long ago. And then the second one happened it's got to be about 5 months ago. Four months ago, maybe. So I had a blowout on my bike, road bike. I was out with my mate and early morning, and I went in a pothole and my wheel shattered. And this wheel, I've probably had 4 weeks, if that. And it's an expensive, expensive wheel. So if you're a cyclist, you know that wheels are probably the most expensive thing. It's probably half the cost of my car just for a set of wheels. Very funny. Anyway, I ring up Stephen. Stephen, can you come pick me up, babe? I'm in the middle of nowhere. I can't go anywhere. So he comes to pick me up. We send these wheels. So we contact where I've bought them from. I won't slander and say any names. And said to them, this happened. They said, I promise you. So I've written the email. I know, Bruce. Wait till you hear what comes. This happened to me today. Blah, blah, blah. It's a brand new wheel. I've only da, 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 da. And they turned around and went, have you checked it's not a puncture? I'm serious. I'm serious. I then went into, thank goodness it was through email and not verbally, because I was shocked. I'm like, really? Really? Are you really trying to ask me, am I sure it's not a puncture? If you're a cyclist, you probably have changed punctures.
Yeah.
A million times.
Yeah.
I know it's not a puncture.
Yeah.
Just like she didn't know that she knew it wasn't petrol.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
It's awful with that kind of thing. It's funny, it makes me laugh. But it's also it's indicative of how humans behave when they faced with problems.
You've got it.
Yeah.
That's all that was.
Yeah. All they're trying to do is offset it. You know, and the first thing that comes in their head, they go, you know, it's operator error. You know, it's your fault. It's not our fault. It's your fault.
I had it yesterday.
Yeah. And that happens all the time. We were talking earlier about technology off air. You know, in 40 or 50 years of managing techies, I've seen that. And I've done it myself. Yeah. I've absolutely done it myself. Back in the day before customer service existed, I was a systems programmer, okay? And me and Graham Bailey, who are the two systems programmers, used to sit there at a desk and people would walk into our office and they'd go, I can't get da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da to work. And we'd both point upwards and we had a big cardboard sign and it just said RTFM. And people would go, what's that? You go, read the flipping manual. And that was, you know, that was our entire response to everything. Read the manual, yeah. People offset it and they say the stupidest things because they don't want it to be them.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't want to take responsibility.
We don't want to take responsibility for what's gone wrong.
And another thing about technology, and I found it fascinating, it was only because my friend, he's a computer psychologist, which I just love the fact that, could you imagine, it gives me a vision of a computer lying on a chaise lounge.
So, Dell, how does it feel?
It does. Do you know what I mean? You can imagine this porky boy, you don't realise what they've put me through, you know. But we don't expect, our expectations of technology to fail is zero. We don't think it should ever fail. Oh, and of course it does.
It drives me nuts. It drives me nuts, the failures of technology. It sends me off into realms of stupidity when silly things don't work. I had one last week. We started these technical problems we're having with the station. They first surfaced a week ago, and somebody on air contacted me and said, look, we're having these problems. And I was trying to troubleshoot, and I was listening on my computer at home. And, of course, we kept getting blanks in the listening. And then all of a sudden, it was completely blank for ages. And I'm going, this is terrible, it's blank. And I go, no, it's not. And I'm like, yes, it is. And it turned out it was my computer had stopped playing it. Yeah. Do you think I could make it play it again? Could I? I could not, no matter what I did to that computer. I cleared the cache, I cleared the cookies, I reset the browsers, I tried four different browsers. Would it play again? It would not. And it's just driving me nuts. And I rang at least four people that I consider experts, and I've told them, they've gone, well, that doesn't make any sense.
And that's the thing, isn't
it? Yeah.
You have it. I had it last week with my guest. She said, Sarah, I hate to say this to you, but the photo isn't me. It's my show. It's got everything, but the photo's not me. So I've gone on every platform that I put the show out. It's her. I'm like thinking, this is crazy. And she actually sent me a photo shot. The only thing it was on her mobile phone. But everywhere else in the world, I've got five different people to look it up. It wasn't what she was producing.
Yeah.
I know. Go figure.
Yeah.
Go figure.
It's really odd, isn't it? And a lot of that is because a lot of the technology now uses cached versions of things. Yeah. And it also, there's a lot of technology that picks up what it thinks you're trying to say and does it. You know, if you put out a tweet now with a web link in it, it will pick up a photograph from the website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you write an email that says there's an attachment and you don't attach something, I get a message now, pop up and say, you might have forgotten to attach something.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we were on the train yesterday and we were going into London, and all of a sudden it came up on Stephen's phone, Nespresso shop, blah, blah, blah. And he went, not being watched at all then, are we? You know what I mean? It's just like, wow, this is wicked.
Yeah.
You know, we're just obviously coming into Stratford and you got West. What's it called?
Where
the shopping mall thing.
Yeah.
And you just think, wow, that's the honesty of technology. Mm. Chris Hyde's put up on a GIF here. He's put, I call them picnic problems. Problem in chair and not in computer.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. That's helpful.
No, absolutely. And, you know, as we live in a more technical world, those kind of things drive us mad and affect our productivity. You know, I waste hours trying to fix stupid problems just so that I can send an email or, you know.
But I get why people don't want to invest. And that's the big word, invest in technology. because they're scared their great money, their money that is so valuable to them, is going to be so out of date so quickly.
Yep.
So therefore, I'm scared what to invest in, because how long is this going to last before I've got to spend the same again or more in updating what I've got and it not giving me any return? So I absolutely understand that. You know your return of a car. You know that, you know, but you don't know what the return on investment is. That's what I think the fear is. Not always. And whose responsibility is that? I would imagine it's you, the business, to really help that fear.
Yeah.
Support that fear.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I've got a load of tweets and we've got loads of emails and we've got a guest to talk to and we're kind of running out. Well, we're not running out of time. We've got time, but we've got a lot to get through.
And there was you worried.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had a tweet from Romney Resource Centre and they say, "Hi, guys. Hope you're having a great show today. Did you know that the Romney Resource Centre is hosting a careers fair sponsored by Jobs in Kent? And it's at the Grand Hotel of the Lees in Folkestone on Wednesday, the 23rd of October. So remember to save the date." And there will be information about that coming up shortly. Before that one, though, this Thursday, I've got a tweet about it here. Jobs in Kent, in conjunction with Medway Council and the Department of Work and Pensions, have a job fair at the Pentagon Centre in Chatham. That's at the shopping centre in Chatham on the upper floors. It's totally free to attend. There are 32 employers there, plus a lot of little mini workshops that you can go on about how to prepare your CV, how to get yourself ready for an interview, and how to find your mojo, how to find your talent when you're looking for a new job and to find the kind of careers you want. All totally free. Open at 10 o'clock on Thursday.
Can I ask a big question?
Yeah.
And this is really, I'm reaching out to you and I'm reaching out to everybody to help on this.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get a reference, right, references. What is the legal requirement of asking for a reference from an old employer and they refuse to give you a reference?
They can't refuse. They're not allowed to refuse to give you a reference. But all they will do is say, this person was employed by us between these dates in this capacity.
What if that's all you need?
Yep.
And they still won't give it to you. What do you do? Where do you go? So it's all great saying they're not allowed to.
Yeah.
What if that's what they're doing? And can you go in? Can you? What would you suggest you do?
Well, I'll write to them saying and point out it is a legal requirement that they are supposed to provide that information because that they're thinking we're not going to give a reference because references are a pain. Yeah. Because they can be used against you as an employer. If you go, no, this person was really brilliant, and then they hire them and they turn out to be a terrorist, they can sue you because they'll go, well, you told us they were good.
Yeah.
So for many, many years, employers have given very basic references that says, this lady was employed on the 1st of January 1970 and left us on the 3rd of February 1973 and was employed in the capacity as, lollipop lady. Yeah. And that is what most references are. And there's a legal requirement to do that because you're basically just stating some facts. You're not making an opinion on the performance of that person. Mm. Yeah. So in your case, if they're refusing to do that, I would write to them and just say, you do realise this is a legal requirement and that all we require for you is to state what I've just said,
perfect.
Basically.
Okay, great.
I would write to them and say that.
Interesting.
Yeah. If they still don't do it and it's important that you have that, then your only recourse is law. But, why would you want to spend money on that?
Exactly. It's really interesting, isn't it? But it's just because you brought it up then. We're having trouble.
Mm. Okay. Mm. And that's because a lot of employers don't understand what their responsibilities are as a reference. What they're thinking is you're asking them to give them a testimonial, which is a completely different issue.
Exactly.
There you go. That's my legal advice based on no legal training whatsoever. Don't do this at home. If you really have a problem, speak to someone that knows what they're talking about. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, don't listen to us on the business podcast.
We're just making it up as we go along. What you got, Bird?
Oh, really? Mm. Help to bridge the gap between schools and businesses. In Kent, we offer a practical way for businesses to engage with education through Skills 30-30. 30-30? 30-30. Now, this is a two-hour event. Here's the programme lineup. For businesses, you have a one-hour network and presentations, FSB lobbying update, a Kent-supported employment team, Enterprise Advisor Network, Mr. Paul Andrews on skills and employment, and for students, so you do know what you're talking about, and for students, one-hour workshop, how to present yourself at work, how to stand out in your new job, and how to use LinkedIn to your advantage. This is where the magic is when we bring the two together, business and students. 40 minutes facilitated networking, 10 minutes free networking. You need to go and email alison.parmar, that's P-A-R-M-A-R, at fsb.org.uk. Or, my darlings, go on to www.jobsinkent.com and find out. So the next one is the 25th of September at Haysbrook School in Tunbridge. Then we got the 20th of November at Longfield Academy. When's the one in 2020?
We got two booked in 2020, one in January and one in June. The one in June is at Maskell School, and I can't remember when the one in January is.
Okay.
But they'll appear. Exactly. They'll be on campusesradio.co.uk/3030, and we keep a rolling record of when the next events are and where and the booking links there. I've had a tweet from Michael Park Surveyors, MPSL. Thank you, Paul. We'd love a Business Bunker shout out today, please. Michael Parks and the team. They're surveyors based over there in Rochester. And do give them a follow, MPSL, on the Twitter. They do property management, sales and lettings, property maps, and they're survey specialists. So
do send us over some photos. We always love them. They've got some really interesting buildings. A space that you'd want to be going into.
Yep. Construction Expo, the full programme for the Southeast Construction Expo is now live. Head to our website to see all the brilliant speakers, panels and workshops we have lined up for you. That's the Southeast Construction Expo, which is taking place at Ardingly at the Sussex County Showground on the 26th of September. And check out our website, constructionexpouk.co.uk, for the programme.
Have we, just because I've missed it, have we talked about my icky guy today? No, haven't we?
I've literally just got it on my phone, just as you mentioned it.
Wow.
Go for it.
My icky guy, Vanilla Web and Burden Bike. Please give the Food Junkies a shout out. Visit them on the first Sunday of every month at the Westgate Towers in Margate. Have a fabulous show, Business Bunker. We will. How on earth, Bruce, do you fit it all in?
At night.
We're going to talk to Bruce in a minute. I'm just going to do one more tweet, and then we're going to talk to Bruce about that. Yep.
About how you fit?
How you fit all of it in, plus what Bruce is also doing during the day.
So not his sausages.
Not just his vegan sausages. No. We want to explore more than vegan sausages.
Or his meat sausages that are in the bin.
Yes.
Yeah, that he never touched. No. They weren't him on his cuff.
And they weren't five donuts. No, she's gone.
I didn't have donuts.
Nonsense.
I didn't have donuts. It was a donut bag. I didn't have the donuts. I did have the swirls, though. They weren't swirls. They were Danish pastries. I forgot about the listen again. New appointments.
Edit.
All I can see is Amanda going through the bins with a torch.
I know.
I know he's at it somewhere in here.
NAG for Jobs, NAG for Jobs, New Appointments Group. Can we have a big shout out, please, Vanilla Web and Bird on a Bike? Looking forward to seeing you at the Pentagon on Thursday for the jobs fair. And that's from Andrew, and it's his 30th anniversary at work this year.
Aren't many people that can say
No. And he's still got a smile on his face, and he's still a lovely, lovely bloke.
I wonder why.
He's happy. He's good at what he does.
No, I know why he's happy, but I wonder why. I wonder what it is, the success there, and why he feels that he can still grow there.
Yeah. Well, from my point of view, New Appointments Group are a bastion of the employment scene in Kent. They're an independent agency. They've been around a long, long time, and they've built up a reputation for quality and excellence. And when you've done that and people know, it makes life so much easier, doesn't it? Yeah. So, no, and we're looking forward to seeing you, Andrew, at the Pentagon on Thursday. Mm. Yeah.
Diamond Circle Weddings. We emerged from them. Do you know why? because they're not with us today. Ah. I said, sorry, we won't be listening today. We are at Plaza, P-L-A-S-A, which is a trade show in London. Sunday is a massive day in England's RFU first and are playing a game, more importantly, than it's the Grand RR, the Grand Folkestone Wedding Fair, which we know is, you've just read it, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Next, is it next Wednesday? No, 23rd of October. It's a Wednesday. That's when that Grand Fair is.
Yep, absolutely. That's DC Weddings, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They're not around today, you know?
I've just said that.
I know.
Are you playing with me?
Yeah.
Are you joshing with me?
Yeah.
Right.
Hold on, I'm trying to catch up with my tweets. And
it's gone mad. What's going on?
It is. It's crazy, crazy.
We've got Chris Hyde sending gifts beyond
anything. I know, and we've got loads of people going, we can't hear the music. I know, I'm sorry. We had a technical problem, and we are trying to resolve it, and it's been ongoing for a little while, and we're not really sure what's happening. The funny thing is, before I went live on air, myself and my technical guy, we sat here and we played four records through the system, and we played them live out to air, yeah? So it went out through the live system, and they all played perfectly. As soon as we went live, it all fell apart. And it just makes no sense at all. And we're all sitting here scratching our heads going, don't understand. Don't understand at all. Makes no sense.
And the technology goblin is sat there laughing.
Yeah. I did read this out last week, and I want to read it out again because I just think it's really interesting. It was, Paul, I was wondering if you could help promote a brand new murder mystery play which comes to the Chilham Village Hall on the 4th and 5th of October. It's called Henry's Last Party, and it promises a night of mystery and laughter. Tickets and more information can be found at henryslastparty.co.uk. It would be great to get the word out about this brand-new piece of theatre, which has been written and performed by local people, and that's from Joe Price. Joanna, absolute pleasure to read that out. I hope it's a massive success, and it sounds like loads of fun. henryslastparty.co.uk. Check it out. Do you know what?
Let's do it.
Should we talk to our guest?
Yep.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back Bruce Kidd from Operational Accounting Systems. Bruce, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
We've talked to you quite a lot just recently, but yes, there is a lot going on, isn't there?
Yes.
So I know that you're exhibiting at Tech Expo and you're doing some interesting stuff as part of the exhibition as well, aren't you?
Absolutely, yes.
Do you want to kick off by telling us about that?
No problem. Let's start with the Tech Expo. So yep. We're exhibiting next week, the 26th. Of September at the Tech Expo. I can't remember our stand. I want to say it's B60. Most people who follow us now would have known that at the last LinkedIn Live Kent event, we launched our idea of a pub quiz, an interactive idea to both educate people but to get some information from what the quiz delivers at the end. It went down so well on the evening. So many people joined in and noted and kind of just played along with it. So we decided that is something we need to take wherever we go because it gets people talking. It's a talking point. It interacts people with what we do, and we can create the questions in a way that would show up what people know about technology.
Sure.
And that's what we're doing at this
It sounds like good fun.
It's going to be great fun. We've got a whole bar idea with pub quiz tables, and it's just we mimic a whole pub in the stand, really.
Really?
And that's the idea. You know, it's just kind of, it's a talking point. And although for us it is about educating the businesses that are there about the technology that we are serving up, which is software, but it is also about, you know, getting them involved because we've talked about software so many times. Everybody, it's a boring subject. People don't want to talk about it. So you have to find a way of engaging people in a way that they're going to learn.
Yeah.
And someone mentioned earlier on, I think Amanda mentioned, one of the talks is going to be gamification.
Right.
In work. And this is exactly what we've done. We've used a game idea and we've created it into a quiz that actually has got meaningful information for the audience at the end.
Yep.
So you learn something from the quiz. I also started using this quiz idea when I do a welcome and an opening and an introduction talk to an event. So it interacts the people. It allows me to play off an agenda over 10 questions to tell them what's going to happen, to have a 2-minute talk about each kind of thing. So it just allows you to interact people about what you are doing.
It's interesting, gamification. Funny enough, when I launched Jobs in Kent 20 years ago, I think our second year in, so it'd been 18 years ago, we had a computer game made you know, a shoot 'em up Star Wars type game, you know. But also, we had a little gun at the bottom where aliens drop down at you, go bing, bing,
not
bing, bing.
Not the Atari thing, sorry. Do you remember that?
Yes, it was similar to that. It was similar to that because it wasn't long after that was, you know, in vogue. But it had a background. And the thing was, you moved along a high street as you were shooting these things down. And the clever things that the developers had done is as you moved along the high street, every shop had the name of one of our customers on it.
Excellent.
Yeah, so as you move through it, it was really brilliant. We got it. The game was written by a couple of programmers in Bulgaria that did it for about £1. But it was brilliant, and it worked for ages. We had a high score competition that ran on the website and all that kind of stuff, so it really worked. But also,
that's exactly what we're doing. We'll have a scoreboard. Someone will be higher score, someone will be lower score, and that would indicate something about their knowledge of what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Absolutely. And talking about the pub scene as well, I recall about 15, 16 years ago, when I was still on the speaking circuit, I spoke at the annual convention of the cement producers of the UK.
Cement producers.
Say that again.
I spoke at the annual convention of cement producers UK.
Blue Circle.
Yeah, and Portman. And what I knew about cement, you could write on the back of a postage stamp, but I did get in, you're a bit set in your ways and you're hardened to this type of jokes. But the thing was, the point of what I'm telling you is that I actually delivered the talk from the bar of the Rover's Return.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we're at Granada TV Studios on the set, and I stood behind the bar, behind the pumps, doing this talk. It was hilarious. Cement, a product that I know nothing about. cool. So you're doing that at Tech Expo,
absolutely,
Bruce?
Yes.
Yeah. What else are you up to? A couple of bookkeepers just mentioned reverse VAT. Yeah. That's a laugh, isn't it?
We had our reverse charge VAT event on the 4th of September. Yeah. Tracy from Procurnia was one of our talks on the day, and a fantastic event. We filled the room. We had 40 people there talking about reverse charge VAT, the impact it's going to have on the businesses, what they can do to prepare themselves. And on the 6th of September in the afternoon, I had a call from the Pegasus BDM, my BDM, who went, "Oh, did you see the news?" And I was like, "No." And he sent me a link. It's been delayed for a year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's like everything else. It's a bit of a joke that they've done that. However, I don't think it's a bad thing, because I think as we were approaching this deadline, a lot of businesses were starting to realize the impact it was going to have and the actual work they had to do to prepare for it.
Yep.
So you couldn't have just gone and switched on the fact that you are in reverse charge VAT. You had to know who you're working with, where they fit into this, what they, you know, because you had to get your systems right to dealing with that. So I think in a way, probably it's not as bad a thing as it's made out to be, because now businesses will actually have enough chance to spend time to look at the impact this is going to have on them.
It's kind of funny, isn't it? Because just about everything the government's introduced over the last few years, you know, workplace pensions, what was the thing before that? I can't remember what it was. GDPR.
Yep.
Yeah. RTI. All those kind of things. Everybody, small businesses, all waited to the last moment and went, "Oh, not heard of this," you know, panic. And, you know, loads of fines thrown out because everybody missed the deadline and all the rest of it. I don't think they did it deliberately, but this has been causing consternation as we move closer to October 2019 and people going, "Oh, I don't understand this at all," and da 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 da. And I think they delayed it by a year because they realised that no one was going to be ready for this.
I don't think the pre-work and the information towards businesses just weren't out there for long enough in advance of this actually happening.
Yeah.
So that's a problem, yeah.
And of course, it was all mixed up along with making tax digital and digital VAT returns. They were asking an awful lot anyway. So I think by putting it back a year, it was the right thing to do. But in a perverse kind of way, I think because it frightened people into thinking about it, and then they've given them a breathing space, they really should now be going, "You know what? That was a close call. We could have come unstuck with that. We've got a year now to prepare ourselves."
It's absolutely. I mean, this is exactly where we're going to try and capitalize on what's happened.
Yeah.
Because I picked up at the event that we had that from all the businesses there, no one was really ready for that to start on the 1st of October.
Right.
Firstly, the software wasn't ready for it. And secondly, I think internally they weren't ready to move with that. So we have capitalized and set our event for next year already. So, and doing it in well enough time so that those businesses who come to the event and have a look at what's going to happen will have more than enough time to implement any changes they need to before the 1st of October 2020, so that the transition for them will be smooth at that time.
Yeah.
Because we have to remember there will be about 120, 150,000 businesses in the UK for who this will have a real impact.
Mm.
And the impact will be the 20% cash flow that they immediately lose because they won't be getting the VAT money in and they won't be paying it over.
Yep.
Now, although that might have been a 3-month wait for them to pay it, that means a cash flow for 3 months they had to work with. That's fallen away. The other problem that this delay has kind of brought on is a lot of these businesses were advised to help with the cash flow issue to move their VAT reporting to a monthly basis because that would now change how you work. Now, of course, this has changed and they're kind of telling them you need to
move it back.
If you don't want it now to affect you negatively, you need to move it back to your 3 month to your 3 month period like you had before. Mm. So that's just some of the impact. But I think it's easier doing that than having to account for a loss of 20% cash flow at the beginning.
Mm.
I think it will work itself out eventually.
Mm.
This kind of legislation normally does. It will have an impact in the beginning, it's just going to be the way it is.
Mm.
But I think now that we've got a longer time, those of us who have customers already in that industry, we now have enough time to really get them prepared for it so that the impact is much less when it actually happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. No, good. And I don't think the HMRC can take credit for being that smart. I think they just panicked and went, this ain't going to work.
Yeah, I think that the preparations for this as... I didn't want to say the B word, but as Brexit is looming and it has changed into the month of October, I feel that perhaps the government didn't have enough chance, enough time to spend on getting ready for this. And no, not getting ready, but for businesses out there, when they start reporting on the 1st of October, the HMRC has to be ready more than anything else. And if they're not ready, things can't happen. And I think that's part of the reason, that and the misinformation, that there just wasn't enough info at
Absolutely.
Enough time.
There's just too much happening.
Yes.
And, it's all government regulation stuff. That's all, if you miss it, you're in trouble.
I know.
And,
I must be honest, for us as a business, it really took some pressure off.
Yeah.
We almost cheered.
Yeah.
And it's not a nice thing to say. I think you're right. And, businesses spent money getting prepared for this. But for us as a business, thinking of the customers we had to deal with in the next 3 weeks before the 1st of October, it was a bit of a kind of a cheer. It's like, oh, we've got a bit more time to deal with this now,
Yeah.
So it's not bad.
Yeah, cool. So what else you got going on in your world, Bruce?
I've got also, sorry, you'll notice me every now and then looking over my shoulder to the left. It's because in the office I've got a paper calendar against the wall for a year, and every now and then I kind of look back to see where I'm at.
Where is it? It's not there.
It's not there. I need to look down here, so sorry about that. But I've got on the 3rd of October, we are exhibiting at the Kent Construction Expo at the Kent Event Centre. That should be, again, it's a whole day exhibition centred around the construction industry. Again, we're taking our pub quiz there, and this time we're really looking at reverse charge VAT and the question of what now? Now that it's been delayed, what now? What do you do? What do you do? Do you sit on your laurels? Do you wait?
Yeah.
Or do you actually systematically get yourself sorted so that you don't have to worry by the time next year happens?
Mm.
So that's the stance we're going to take on that, because everybody is still going to talk about reverse charge VAT. At the moment, whether negatively or positively, it doesn't matter. They're still going to be talking about it, so we need to kind of work on that. And then on the 10th of October, something really exciting happening for us. I know it's the same day as the King's Summit, 10th of October. However, we are launching in Ashford our partnership with a company called Easy Stock. Now, Easy Stock is an inventory management company that... allows you to manage your inventory in very clever ways. And when I say in clever ways, I mean it will look at seasonality, it will look at trends, it will look at all kinds of information about the items you are holding. This is interesting because when we look at ROI, which you mentioned earlier on, ROI on this product is very clever how they do that. There's no selling price. It basically looks at your stock holding and the saving it's going to make you, and then it works at a price for you on that, based on that. So I think it's kind of, you know, someone will go, oh, you've got £6 million of stock. You really don't need that. You only need to keep £4 million to keep your business going, based on the last 3 years' worth of trends. And that saves you so much, and therefore we can charge you X amount. So I think that's a very clever way how they do it, but very, very good product. Very clever.
And those organizations that use just-in-time inventory planning, is that going to fit in with the kind of things that they do with that? Because due to the B word at the moment, there's loads of people out there that have suddenly become experts, they think, in just-in-time logistics. And that's another thing that drives me bonkers when people start talking about it without having a clear understanding of what just-in-time is. I mean, so effectively, just-in-time planning is so that you don't overhold stock.
Correct.
And you give somebody else the headache of having to supply the kit to you on a call-off basis. So this particular – is this a software product?
It is a software product. Absolutely correct, yes.
And that's been launched.
Yep. It's not a new product. This product has been going for something like 30 years.
Right.
It is a Norwegian product from a product called Synchron.
Right.
So this is more the UK version of the product. Okay. They've already got around 400 customers in the UK.
Wow, okay.
So it's a very strong product.
Right.
The way it works, the algorithms it uses in the background, the way it looks at your history to kind of suggest what your future should be with the stock holding. It will suggest the orders for you. It will suggest your best suppliers you can order from. It will even look if you've got several warehouses, for example. It will look between the warehouses where you can move stock and where the best stock holding is for you. So it really is clever at how it looks at how you do business and then suggest what you should be having for stock holding
based on lead times and that kind of stuff. That's a massive benefit to business, isn't it? Because, you know, if you're holding stock, you've paid for it.
It's dead money.
Yeah, and it's just dead money sat in a warehouse. Absolutely.
So even if you have that money in the bank, you might earn, you know,
0.2%,
whatever.
Yeah.
But if it sits there on the shelf, you don't earn. In actual fact, you start losing.
Yeah.
Because you have to put it there. It costs money to store it there. Yeah. It might go out of date. You know, there's just so many factors at play there.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a big thing. It is a big thing to manage stock holding. It really is, you know. Even if you think about little retail stores and their stock holding, it's what normally kills them.
And you know what really gets me is that so many businesses still manages their stock manually.
Yeah.
They download the information onto spreadsheets. They look at it. They decide what the trend is. They place an order based on that. And I think this product shows out that probably at least 20 to 25% of people are overstocking are overstocking in their businesses. So it's just dead money sitting there. You know, if you got 6 million quid per pound of stock, for example, 6 million pounds worth of stock, no one needs to keep that potentially depending on the business. And we've got a specific customer who has been exactly in this position. Before he introduced Easy Stock, he went on I want to call it an ordering spree for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And he ordered so much stock because he orders from China and there's long lead times. And he ordered so much stock that he literally had some items for Christmas time that was going to last him for 5 years.
Yeah.
And you don't want to staff stocking for 5 years. And this kind of product just helps you manage that
absolutely.
Through really clever algorithms that it's got built into.
Because you do see it with businesses as well, don't you? Where, you know, you go to a business and you go, you got any of those? They go, nah, mate. Got loads of these, though.
Yeah.
I want one of those. Yeah, well, they were really popular a couple of years ago.
Off price.
Yeah.
Start losing money.
And it's a killer. It's a killer because they haven't managed their stock holdings properly. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Well, it sounds like a fantastic piece of software, and that's taking place at the Curious Brewery.
Absolutely,
and it's worth going there for a look as well, isn't it?
It's great, the Curious Brewery is such a good venue.
Yeah.
they're very busy. They knew, they're on trend with what's happening in Ashford. So I think teaming up with them for us is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
At the moment, I'm very excited for the event. I've got several people speaking and doing talks for us on the day. So I've got Sleep Enjoying Media talking about the future of digital. Mm. I've got Tracy from Pecunia, again, talking about cash flow, inventory, and how you manage all of this together. Because, there's how much inventory you have has got a direct effect on your cash flow.
Absolutely.
If you overstock, you don't have cash flow.
Absolutely.
So it should be very good. And of course, the guys from Easy Stock will be showing us the products and the launch and what's going off and what they can and cannot do. So it should be very good.
Yeah. So once again, the website is www.
World Wide Web.
Easy Stock, and that's easy with a Z, -software.co.uk to book your place. 10th of October. Get along.
Thank you.
Bruce, nice one. So thank you for that. Thank you for coming on and updating us. You can all go and see Bruce at the Tech Expo on the 26th of September at the Kent Event Centre. Do you know your stand number again?
I think I want to say we're on stand B60.
Okay.
I have a feeling that's the
stand cool. B. But you'll find them anyway. Yeah. They're
just follow the loud noise for the pub quiz.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
can I ask? Obviously, knowing that you're a vegan and you've got icky guy, you know what I'm going to say,
Eddie? No, not really.
Do you have a meat raffle?
Yeah, Satan meat raffle.
Could you imagine it? Do you know what? When I moved up here from Devon and I moved to Kent, I'd never heard of a meat raffle in my life.
Have you
until
not?
I came to Kent. Have you heard of a meat raffle?
No, I was just the first time when you joking.
Stop it.
It's a big...
No, I'm serious,
so you mean
Bruce.
You buy a ticket to win meat?
Yeah. It's a
yes,
big,
Bruce.
It's a big thing. That,
now I've got you thinking, haven't I?
It's a big thing that
in
happened.
In Kent?
That happened in pubs all over Kent for years and years, on a Sunday.
On a Sunday.
Basically, you'd enter a raffle and you'd win a joint of beef or a turkey.
I'm serious.
Or
it's the meat raffle, Bruce. Come on.
Yeah. I want to say if it's raw or cooked.
It's raw.
No, it's raw. It's fresh meat.
You'd go to your wife. What happened was is they'd have Sunday football, let's be really honest, right? And they'd go, here, love, I've been down the pub. They'd come back a little bit, a bit like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But don't worry, love. There's the meat. I'm serious.
Yeah.
And there's the meat. Yeah. And this wife would be all happy, apparently.
Because they won the meat
because
raffle.
Because they won the meat raffle.
Okay.
And then I'd worry about the football or the booze.
No.
That's the idea. That's the system comes
this
in, isn't
it? It's a pity. It's just only one person who's going to be happy from the pub. But anyway.
Yeah. No, but they brought all their teammates because they're all bevied up. They brought all their teammates back for lunch. They go,
Bruce doesn't believe us.
It's absolutely
true.
And
this still goes on to this day, Bruce. Yeah. The meat raffle. Wow. That's how far we've come.
So I've never heard of that. It's very
absolutely true.
Yeah.
So Ikigai could do a false meat raffle.
Vegan sausage raffle.
I'm serious.
I could do a quiche raffle. Yeah.
No, it doesn't have the same romance. You can't go. This is our promise. Here's a quiche raffle. It's got to be the meat raffle.
No.
For the
meat
pub.
Raffle.
It's a pub quiz.
Yeah.
Do you see what I've done there?
Yeah, the other thing, which wasn't as big by any stretch of the imagination, but it's absolutely right, almost every pub in Kent that hosted a football team after Sunday football had a meat raffle.
Yeah.
I used to play for Hollingbourne, and the King's Head in Hollingbourne had a meat raffle every Sunday afternoon. And I'll tell you what else they used to do, free roasty potatoes.
on
the bar when you come in after the football.
You could do that.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah. And then a meat raffle. I'll tell you the other thing that used to happen, not on such a bigger scale, they used to do meat auctions as well.
Really?
Yeah.
What, like a half a side of
So
animal.
A butcher would come along and go, I've got this half a pig.
Don't be mean to Bruce.
No, sorry, but they did. That's what they did. Yeah. And he used to bid for it in an auction. Yeah.
In a pub.
Yeah.
On a Sunday, Bruce.
On a Sunday. It all happened on a Sunday. Yeah.
So that when you went home to the wife, you'd go, there you go, love.
Yeah.
Cook the dinosaur.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad we sorted that out. Do you know, I've forgotten that.
I'm sat here thinking, what a great idea for Ikigai to produce a meat raffle that's not meat, clearly.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, exactly, because you always go on about your lovely false sausages things. Yes. What do we call them?
Vegan sausages.
Vegan sausages. Yeah. I call them false sausages.
False sausages, yeah.
Call them savoury rolls. Yeah, yeah. It's fine.
Savoury rolls.
Savoury rolls, and no one's going to argue with you about yeah, yeah. What
good
it
point.
Is.
Yeah. Good point. You don't want me arguing.
Cool. Bruce, thank you for that.
No, thank you very much for
And we're looking forward to seeing you at the Tech Expo and at the Easy Stock Software on the 10th of October.
That's it. Yes.
Yeah. Cool. Good Thank stuff. You. We've still got things to talk about. We haven't got very much longer. Everybody's still worried about my music not playing and blaming me for pressing the wrong button.
Are they?
Yeah, but...
Why are we in this blame... It does my head in with blaming. I can't bear it. You know what I'm like? Yeah. I have a go at you. I'm like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
Anyway, I've had a tweet. There's a couple of things I wanted to hear about and a couple of emails I've got. The lovely folks, Roland and the guys at Dragon Co-working, have told me about some of the things they've got happening. They're going to be at Tech Expo on the 26th of September, and they say, we're looking forward to seeing everyone at the Tech Expo, and please drop by for a business slush. They're doing slushies, yeah? They're back with Waffle 9. On the 17th of October from 4 to 5.30pm. Waffle 9 is coming and it will be sponsored by Folly's Face and Body Art. Oh, that's Liz Bylett.
It is, yeah.
Also a popular event, so please book ASAP. Apart from the Waffles networking, Liz will be springing a few surprises with her amazing body art models, just like our Dragon Lady. So book on our website or Facebook page. And then it's back. I can't tell you what it's called. I'll have to paraphrase. It's the Failure Night.
Yes.
Yeah. F up is what it was called. Bruce, you're looking at me oddly. And the next one is on the 1st of November, 7pm till late. We're back with our best lineup of speakers so far. Come and listen to stories for business failure and learn how to avoid them yourself. This is not your normal business event. There's craft beers, local ciders, cocktails, along with a local band, and it's all included in a £20 ticket price.
Good.
Yeah, so Failure Night, Failure Friday night, 1st of November, 7pm. They're also looking for a beer sponsor. We will supply a beer and name it after your business. So they've used some examples. I think they might be getting at me. The Jobs in Kent IPA or the Fruitworks Lager, for example. So if you've got a business and you want some sponsorship, they're going to name a beer after you. So do talk to them about that. All of this can be found on www.dragoncoworking.co.uk.
What did we like of their creativeness? Because they're so creative.
They're
Roland.
Brilliant. Yeah, they're absolutely
what did
brilliant.
He do that you were going to try and steal as well? Something about commutery.
They had a commuter day in there. Yeah. So don't commute for the day. Come into the co-working
it's
space.
Genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A last call for tomorrow for the lunch and learn with Orchard Employment Law and Hawksafe. Wednesday the 18th, which is manana, 12pm to 2pm at the Case Sports Centre, Cobdown, that's near Aylesford, just outside Maidstone. Are you prepared for changes in the law which will take place next year? Do you know how to conduct a risk assessment? This seminar will improve your knowledge of employment law and health and safety so that you can manage staff more confidently and effectively. Orchard Employment Law and Hawksafe has joined together for this lunch and learn event to help local business owners and managers with these important topics. Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, Employment Law Specialist, Trainer and Public Speaker, will be talking about getting ready for changes in HR law, the 2020 changes in employment law legislation, what should be in an employment contract, and managing staff absences and performance. Andy Haith from Hawksafe, who's a health and safety consultant and a CITB accredited trainer, he's going to be talking about risk assessments. What are they and why do we need them? He'll look at what the law requires us to do with respect to risk assessments. How do you know what your business needs to do? We'll also concentrate on the hazards are as this is the foundation of an assessment process. If you want to find out all about it, it's just £32 for the Lunch and Learn Employment Law, and you can find it on Eventbrite at Lunch and Learn Employment Law. And that's tomorrow. Cool.
Nice. Well, I'm going to give Fruitworks and Fruit Bowl Media a bit of a shout-out here. Mm. So first, for Fruitworks, community workspace is expanding. We have easy access, no long-term commitment hot desk, fixed desk, small private office space available in the expanded Fruitworks in Canterbury. And you need to email hello@fruitworks.co, and that's for details. Go to their website, which is www.wibblywobblyway. And that's fruitworks.co. And another thing about the same group there, which is Fruit Bowl Media, they offer podcast studio hire, audio content creation, and radio media training. It says. radio media training, as well as host presenter and experience packages. You too could present like us.
Or you could do it properly.
Hey, it's taken us years to get this great.
It has. Sorry, I'm trying to catch up with what's going on over
you're
here.
You're fine. Yeah. It has, though. You think how long we've been doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just rolls off our tongue now, doesn't it?
It certainly is.
There we go. University, I'm going to keep going because I've got lots of little ones. Can I keep going and you just keep working over there?
Yeah.
Awesome. University Kent Business School, free business soundbites. I love them. They're my favourite place to go. Breaking down barriers, achieve professional success. Kent Law School, in association with Girling Solicitors, Sibson Building in Canterbury Campus. And this is September the 26th, and it's from 5 till 8:30. I always go to them. I love their networking. I love meeting different people. I love talking to academics who agree with you and then give you a hug at the end of it. It's awesome to just hear different points of view and to go, I hear you, but you're wrong. Love it, love it, love it. So www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS.
Fantastic. You can do one more and then I'm going to tell you about the Bunker Extra show.
Okay, well, I just want to go because we talked about it quite briefly, but do you train apprentices? You are invited to the first Kent and Medway apprentice graduation ceremony, and that's on the 4th of October, and it's at Rochester Cathedral. Now, Amanda mentioned that she's organising the event. You need to book. There's 200 places and it's a first-come, first-served basis, and you need to book on Eventbrite. It's a long, long thing. Go on to our website, which is www.worldwideweb, and it's Kent Business Radio. radio.co.uk, and on there will be
the Kent graduation. Yep.
Get along, it'll be amazing.
Fantastic. Just to let you know, on this week's Business Bunker Extra show, which is on this very channel, channelradio.co.uk/2 and bizradio.co.uk, and at 11 o'clock on a Friday, hosted by the lovely Amanda Flanders. Her co-host this week is Ben Abbott, and their guests are Ross Cowan and Emily Hackett. So do tune in at 11 o'clock on
They've got some
Friday.
New stuff coming up.
Have they?
They want women.
Do they?
They do.
Do they?
They do. I'm serious.
Good.
They're advertising it on Facebook.
Okay.
They are, Ross and Emily. I've given you a big shout out.
For any particular reason?
I'll let them tell you.
Ah, right.
They want women. Okay. They're doing a big fitness thing.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Good. We're kind of at the end of the show, really. We're almost there. Have you got anything else you need to read out? Is there anything...
Am I missing something? It's like,
no, I've just,
Bird, are you I've, sure you don't
want to... I'm just checking. I don't want you to go, no, we haven't done it.
No.
Cool.
Have okay. I missed something?
No. I don't know. Are you missing something? No. I'm just asking. I'm just checking.
You've never asked or checked. What's going on? Is there something behind my back or something? What is going on?
I'm just checking.
The only thing that I can say is my show tomorrow, which is the conversation.
Ah, you haven't mentioned that.
Well, no, live on Radio 1. No, it's on Channel Radio Studio 2. It's live 1 till 2. Here's the interesting thing. My guest has just cancelled.
Ah, okay.
So, I'm still going to do it. So me and my daughter are going to come on and do something.
Fantastic.
Exactly.
Cool.
Flying by the seat of your pants, as they say.
Lovely. Well, we've reached the end of another show.
Is that what you wanted me to say?
Yeah, that's brilliant. Oh, thank you. We've reached the end of another show. We'll be back with you next week. We're going to go silent for a little while because nothing's going to play.
Should we just keep talking then?
Yeah, no.
Don't you want to keep talking?
No, we've got to go because it won't record.
Do you need the loo or something?
I do, yeah. Right. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.